back to Chew the Bible. It's your good friend Aaron. Hope everyone is having an amazing day. It is 12:03 in the afternoon on this lovely, what are we in? What is this? May 29th, 2023. It's funny, yeah, the fact that I don't work like a regular 9-to-5 job. Like, when you're not in school or work a regular 9-to-5 job where you have to, like, constantly date stuff, I feel like when you work a regular job, you're constantly aware of the date because you have to, like, date things all the time, an email or, I don't know, documents. Yeah, especially documents. When I worked at the bank, everything had a date on it. And sign and date it. Sign and date, sign and date, sign and date, sign and date. But now that all I do right now is write, podcast, and, you know, drive people around like Miss Daisy, whatever, like Morgan Freeman. I'm not as aware of the date, or sometimes the day of the week. I have to remind myself, oh, what day is it? Which I kind of like. I don't know. It's something about. It's a level of freedom that I enjoy. It's a level of freedom I hope everyone enjoys at some point. Just, I personally feel like all humans should live off the grid. But that's a deeper conversation for another day. That's escaping. That's what writing is, an escape for me. It's the closest thing. Writing and podcasting like this is an escape for me. Like, it helps me not think about how lonely I am and how much. Don't get me wrong, I have people that I could go hang out with right now, right? Like, from church and stuff. When I say lonely, I mean, like, companionship lonely. Outside of Jesus, yeah, he is my ultimate companion. I'm talking about, like, companionship with a girlfriend, wife, whatever. It's funny, I have this lady friend that lives out in Sacramento, or near Sacramento. And she's very young. What is she? Like, Yeti, I think, is, like, 23. How old is Yeti? 22, 23. She's in her young 20s, somewhere around there. She just had a birthday. I got to go look it up. But anyway, it's kind of a good thing she lives kind of far away. Because, yeah, we live close by. I'll be, like, hanging out with Yeti, like, every day. Or as much as she would tolerate me. But, hey, let's hang out. Her, and I have, like, lady friend that lives out in, like, near Spokane, Washington. She's, like, over 10 years older than me. So I have my lady friend's either, like, a lot younger than me or a lot older than me. But anyway, so, where is I going with all this? Oh, my lady friend Yeti called me, like, at randomly, like, 2:30 in the morning, my time, because, yeah, she's on Cali time, so it was, like, midnight for her. I feel like it was, like, 2:30 in the morning. And my wild behind actually answered the phone. And somehow, yeah, I usually have my phone on Do Not Disturb. I think there's a few people that are on a list where calls can come through still for, like, yeah. And it just, my phone just vibrates. And so anyway, and I usually have my phone right next to me because I play, like, worship music. Or have these Christian lullabies playing. Anyway, she called me, and I answer. And I'm, like, half asleep as I'm answering. She's like, oh, did I wake you up? And I was like, no, you good? And I immediately start just talking, having this whole conversation with my friend Yeti. And then this young lady has the nerve to fall asleep on me. I'm like, oh, heck no. How you going to call me? And ain't even going to engage in conversation. She's like, yeah, she couldn't sleep. And then because I have this effect on people. I put people to sleep. I'm sure I put some of y'all to sleep already. You haven't even gotten into the word yet. I have a gift, like, to put people to sleep, like, over the phone. I should turn that into a business. But anyway, technically it's on my audiobooks before this podcast. So, yeah, because there was this young lady I used to date Well, we didn't really officially date. We were just good friends. Yeah, I think I've told you all about her. I can never remember her name, but Crystal. Was that her name, Crystal? Kristen. Oh, man. I used to love some Kristen, boy. I had the biggest crush on her. Kristen. I can't remember her name. Her last name. Doesn't matter. But I think it was her name, Kristen. Kristen with a K. We used to talk on the phone, and I would put her to sleep. And then I'd be like, Kristen, wake up. She'd be like, I was like, you fell asleep again. What? And she's like, no, I didn't. I was like, yes, you did. And then she'd be like, oh, my bad. And then I'd talk some more, and then she'd fall back. So I'm like, do you just want me to let you go so you can go to sleep? And she'd be like, no. She liked this, you would think most people would. To me, that's kind of weird. Like, isn't that weird? Like, I wouldn't want to just be on the phone sleeping to just some woman talking to me. I mean, I've fallen asleep to people's podcasts and, worship songs and stuff like that, lullabies. But, right now, if I got on the phone and was just, I couldn't just fall asleep to somebody on the phone. Like, I feel like, for one, I'll be being rude to them. And secondly, that'd just be kind of weird. I don't know. I'll just go, hey, all right, time to go. Talk to you later. Good talking to you. Holler at you later. But some reason, the women I've interacted with over the years like just being on the phone with me and falling asleep to my voice. Yeah, I did it a couple times with BB. I was briefly talking to for a while. I fumbled that bad. I fumbled that relationship big time. And I used to do that with my friend Courtney and, out there in St. Louis. I went to high school with the one who inspired me to even do this podcast. We would fall asleep on the phone together. There's something about falling asleep on the phone with somebody. I like doing it. It's cool, but I don't know. Where was I? Escapes. Yes, lonely. Back to the escape. Chew the Bible. Let's go. Acts 19, reading on the Amplified Version. Paul at Ephesus. It happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the upper inland districts and came down to Ephesus and found some disciples. Oh, real quick. I just had this thought. I can only imagine what it's like for Paul right now and being in heaven. When Jesus talked about how in my Father's house has many mansions. So Paul, all them years, is building tents, right? He was a tent maker. And then he goes to heaven and he gets to see beautiful homes that are way better, that are imagine, like I said, remember I was talking about several episodes ago about MTV Cribs, the show? When people, it was a big thing, these celebrities would give you tours of their nice houses, their mansions. Could you imagine going from a little dusty old tent that Paul was making? I just imagine those dusty old tents. But, yeah. Dusty old tents to beautiful, gorgeous, fat mansions that are better than even the mansions here on Earth. I imagine that's Paul is experiencing right now. Got the indoor pool, the outdoor pool, the pool table. All right, Paul at Ephesus, basketball, indoor basketball court and outdoor basketball court. Yeah, just imagine if you could design your... I used to love to draw houses when I was a kid. I told you, I used to love to play The Simpsons when I was a kid. And my favorite thing about The Simpsons was outside of, dating a bunch of women on the game and then them slapping me when they caught me kissing one of my other wives, my many wives, on The Sims. Outside of that activity, yeah, I was a little teenager doing this stuff. I was kind of a bad boy. I was a good bad boy, though. I kind of walked the line. So outside of doing that, I used to love to make houses on The Sims. One of my favorite things to do. And I'll put a piano in there. And there was no way to make an indoor basketball court. They wouldn't let you do that. But I did used to make like an outdoor basketball court, full court. One of my tricks is I used to use that little cheat code called Rosebud that allowed you to get unlimited money, so I didn't have to go work a job. I was like, this is going to work stuff. I can't even enjoy life. I learned pretty quickly as a kid. I was like, how can I figure out how not to go work a job? Because you were always just over broke and you can't enjoy life. I can't even go enjoy my many wives I created. And make a bunch of babies on the app. Oh, man, I used to have so much fun on The Sims on my little desktop computer. Anyway, that was so fun. Until somebody come and break in your house, or the house would catch on fire sometimes. But, oh, it was weird because sometimes people would die on the app and then the Grim Reaper would show up. That was creepy. And then they have like a little urn with ashes. All right, so, what was I trying to say? Rosebud, yes. I used to love making houses on there and having unlimited money and just building. Yeah, imagine making your ideal home, like mansion right now, like what that would be like. What would be inside it? Like outside, inside. Yet, if you had unlimited funds to build your dream house, that's funny. Oh, one other thing, one little side note. My brother and I were talking about, I think he asked his current girlfriend if she ever had a dollhouse. And she was like, yep, one of those that beautiful, yeah, dollhouses. Toy dollhouses. Just about every girl has one. Every young girl just about is given a dollhouse. A little dream dollhouse with their little dolls to put in and stuff. Usually boys, we build stuff. We get Legos and Duplo blocks and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Anyway, so much more I could say, but let's get back to the word. All right, Paul of Ephesus. It happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the upper inland districts and came down to Ephesus and found some disciples. He asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed in Jesus as the Christ? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is such a thing. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Verse 3, and he asked, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John performed a baptism of repentance, continually telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him. That is, to confidently accept and joyfully believe in Jesus, the Messiah and Savior. Verse 5, after hearing this, they were baptized again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in unknown tongues, languages, and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. Hold on a second, y'all. I'll be right back. I gotta grab something. All right. After verse 5. After hearing this, they were baptized again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in unknown tongues, languages, and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. Verse 8. And he went into the synagogue, and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and arguing and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient to the word of God, discrediting and speaking evil of the way, Jesus, Christianity, that's what they called it, the way, before the congregation, Paul left them, taking the disciples with him, and went on holding daily discussions in the lecture hall of Tyrannus instead of in the synagogue. This continued for 2 years, so that all the inhabitants of the west coast province of Asia Minor, Jews as well as Greeks, heard the word of the Lord concerning eternal salvation through faith in Christ. Miracles at Ephesus, verse 11. God was doing extraordinary and unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or face towels or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. That's where you get the TV pastors that are out there trying to sell handkerchiefs and holy water. They kind of make a mockery of this stuff. All right, verse 13. Then some of the traveling Jewish exorcists also attempted to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I implore you and solemnly command you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Verse 14, seven sons of one named Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. But the evil spirit retorted, I know and recognize and acknowledge Jesus, and I know about Paul. But as for you, who are you? Then the man in whom was the evil spirit leapt on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them, so that they ran out of that house in terror, stripped naked and wounded. Verse 17, this became known to all who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. Excuse me, my throat is kicking my behind. Sorry, y'all. Both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified and exalted. Many of those who had become believers were coming, confessing, and disclosing their former sinful practices. And many of those who had practiced magical arts collected their books and, throwing book after book on the pile, began burning them in front of everyone. And that's where you get book burning from. I'm sure there was, if it was today's church, we had a book. We need to have a book burning in church these days. There's still a lot of Christians that read Harry Potter books and other demonic stuff. All right. They calculated their value and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Wow. So the word of the Lord concerning eternal salvation through faith in Christ is growing greatly and prevailing. That would be interesting if a church had a bonfire and people brought all their books that were, they know, the romance novels. That's like the number one category is romance novels, full of all kind of, basically pornographic books. Verse 21, now after these events, Paul determined in the spirit that he would travel through Macedonia and Achaia, both most of the Greek mainland, and go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome and preach the good news of salvation. And after sending two of his assistants, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia ahead of him, he stayed on in the west coast province of Asia Minor for a while. Verse 23, about that time, there occurred no small disturbance concerning the way, Jesus, Christianity. Now, a man named Demetrius, I went to college with a Demetrius. He played football at Truman. He was a wide receiver. I wonder what he's doing now. Now, a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of the goddess, Artemis Diana, was bringing no small profit to the craftsmen. These craftsmen he called together, along with the workmen of similar trades, and said, men, you are well aware that we make a good living from this business, You see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but also all over the province of Asia, this Paul has persuaded people to believe his teaching and has misled a large number of people, claiming that gods made by human hands are not really gods at all. Like, y'all messing up our business model. Verse 27, not only is there a danger that this trade of ours will be discredited, but also that the magnificent temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and that she whom all Asia and the world worship will even be dethroned and lose her glorious magnificence. Verse 28, when they heard this, see, I just had an epiphany. Some of y'all gonna think I'm a little cuckoo when I say this, but I was listening to this podcast talking about like the Disney business model, and yeah, the business of Disney changing, and it was talking about this representation and, you know, the importance of now, like, this new mermaid that just came out with, mermaid movie, live action mermaid movie where the mermaid is a black woman with locked hair, and they're just talking about how Disney discovered early on, like, when they would have their movie premieres, and the young girls would show up to these movies with princess dresses on that they made, and they realized, oh, we can make money off of this. We can make more money off the merchandise than the actual movies. So they came out with these, like, special dolls and dresses, princess dresses that people could buy, and, bruh. Dude, like, because in America, in the United States, the god of this world, especially in the United States, the god of this society is money and consumerism. Our whole nation is built on people constantly buying stuff that we don't need. That's why you have entire shows called Hoarders. And I just had this epiphany about just, like, these Disney movies. I don't know. I was talking to my one friend, lady friend in St. Louis, about, she's asking if I was going to take my daughters to go see, my kids to see the new, mermaid movie. And I just had this realization, like, Disney is like, now, if you're a Christian and you go see Disney movies or go to the Disney World, Disneyland, and this is where you got to be careful, because you can really go down this strong religious rabbit hole where you, like, start burning Disney stuff or saying, no, I'm not supporting Disney at all. But have y'all seen the views of Disney lately and what DeSantis? I'm not saying I'm a follower or supporter of DeSantis, but Disney's stance on homosexuality and a bunch of other things, basically Disney is an anti-Christian organization. There's no way I'll look at Disney's business model and the way in the company, the people run the company, and say, oh, this company is pro-Christian. Not at all. In fact, they have a very strong anti-Christian agenda, and there's really no reason why Christians should really be supporting Disney. Now, if you do it, I'm not knocking you. But just as I was reading through this stuff, I just had this epiphany. Like, there's a whole lot of other things I support, like even Walmart, buy stuff from there. There's all kind of companies out here. I'm about to go use up Chipotle. Finally loaded all my point rewards points into my account. So I have like 2,600 points toward another Chipotle meal. I haven't eaten there in a while. Like in a month or so, because they had their little rewards point system was broken. I was like, I'm not gonna keep coming here. And like, y'all food ain't that good anyway. It's all right. I'm not gonna keep coming here if y'all ain't getting my rewards points. And I've been cooking at home a lot more, which I need to keep doing, but I don't feel like cooking today. So anyway, Chipotle, I'm pretty sure, is not run by some Christians. It's hard to be a Christian and run a business. Like, there's a lot of room for compromise. Even the companies who say they're Christian are doing some dirty stuff to to make a lot of money. Like, yeah, they are, at the end of the day, money is their god. If you run a company, money a lot of times trumps. This is my personal opinion. Profit trumps having integrity, or, yeah, putting Jesus first. It's funny, yeah, like, if you go to, like, Chiefs Stadium, right? It's cool because they have, like, a chapel on the side. They have, like, a little chapel on the side of the stadium where people can have church before and after the games. I wonder what that's like. But I'm like, why don't y'all have church before, like, the games, after games in the actual stadium? You know? And then, yeah, they sell beer and people get drunk before and after the games, you know, tailgating. I'm gonna sound like a religious crazy person saying all this stuff. But imagine a day where they, like, shoot, instead of football games, or, yeah, the football game wasn't even, like, the main event, but the worship and the church service was the main event. I went to this thing called The Send, and it was, like, I I'm not about to stay for this thing. I think it was, like, 12 hours straight. It was, like, a 12-hour-long event from, like, noon to midnight, or from 10 to 10 or something. Like, I can't remember what time. It was, like, an all-day event where it's just, like, worship and all these different speakers. And it was inside the Arrowhead Stadium. And there was a lot of people there, like, on the actual field and in the stands. But it wasn't packed out. It wasn't sold out. Imagine a day when it's like that. It's coming. It's only a matter of time. But anyway, yeah, Disney, you could compare Disney and just about most companies to these guys who are complaining about Paul, who is speaking against their idols. Because they made money from selling these idols. Yeah, they made money from making idols. Think about it. Most girls who have Disney stuff, or just anybody who has Disney stuff. I wanted to say girls, but all these different companies. Yeah. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see what kind of commentary Christians would have about comparisons that Christians would make of this passage to modern day, our modern day United States. All right, verse 28. When they heard this, they were filled with rage and they began, let me go back, verse 27. Not only is there a danger that this trade of ours will be discredited, but also that the magnificent temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and that she whom all Asia and the world worship will even be dethroned and lose her glorious magnificence. Y'all, look at that. I was talking about that not too long ago. Like, Westport is an area here in Kansas City, right? It's a bar area. I've been there myself. I've been honest about my times of going down there. You got, you know, this club, a bunch of clubs and bars, right? You got Tin Roof. You got the Beer Kitchen, and you got Throwback, and what other bars and clubs and pubs in the area, right? They block off. They have barricades, right? Every Friday and Saturday, there's these orange barricades they put up, and there's all the security that they hire, and they have all these cops come in to block off the different roads so that people can safely, in quotes, drink till they get sloppy drunk and then take each other back, go have sex, and do all the kind of wild stuff, right? There's another bar called The Levee. I pick up a lot of people from different bars, right, around Kansas City. And once again, imagine if there was a revival that happened and instead of people bar hopping, they were church hopping, church crawling. Instead of bar crawling, they were church crawling from place to place, worshiping God and hearing sermons of the gospel and people getting prayed for and getting healed of their various diseases and cancers, and they could, the blind could see and the lame could walk, and then people, all their whatever needs that they had, they were met. All their debts were wiped away. They had homes to live in. That was going, imagine if that was going on, like, yeah, big old church services on a Friday and Saturday in Westport. Imagine if that was happening. Or, yeah, say somebody set up a tent revival out, right outside of Westport. And there was like a whole worship service that took place. And more people were drawn to that. And they like, this is where the real party's at. You know how mad the bar owners would be that own those different bars? Because all the thousands of dollars that they miss out on Friday and Saturday would be missed out on. It would completely disrupt. You want to talk about some disruption? That's going to be the name of this podcast, this episode. I'm going to call it True Disruption. That's true disruption. That's the next wave of disruption. When people desire to go to church on Fridays and Saturdays, when people desire to go to church, I ain't talking about like play church. I'm talking about real church. Prayer meetings, worship services, 7 days a week, kind of like what they do at IHOP right now, International House of Prayer over down there in Grandview. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They did this always open. People desire to go to that more than they like. They desire to go to their, even their own. I mean, not, don't get me wrong, they'll still go to like, I don't even know what we would do for work. We'll find out, yeah, when there's no more bar, you don't need a bartender anymore. I mean, there'll still be restaurants. There'll still be, I'm trying to think of like businesses that would still operate if Christians were completely to take over. This is actually how I envision heaven to be. Like, we'll still have jobs and work to do, but we'll be like, God will be the focus. Jesus will be the focus of everything that we do. We'll do everything to the glory of God. But yeah, that would completely disrupt. Or just say people in general just all like got, like this entire generation got radically saved and there was a revival. And all the people stopped drinking and going to these different bars. Like, but look at Bud Light. Bud Light decided to put a trans person in an advertisement. And look how much their company is being destroyed. Imagine if that happened amongst all these pagan companies, all of these companies that have no agenda to make Christ known. That's the next wave of disruption. It's going to be bigger than Blockbuster being put out by Netflix. Imagine if Pureflix was bigger than Netflix. Anyway, it's interesting though, because I saw some video, this guy was talking about how Christians will never be able to outdo the world in the way we do music or make movies. And I kind of got what, like, he's talking about in the quality of them. And I kind of understood what he was saying, but I have to kind of like disagree with him. It's just that our appetites have to change. Because when all you've ever heard, like, is trash, demonic music, demonic movies, it takes a minute. Like, think about, yeah, anyone who's a Christian who's known, like, that transition from, like, you love worldly music, I struggle with myself. Like, you still have an ear for, because it has a certain sound to it. It takes a while to transition to, like, Christian music. I'm not even a big fan of a whole lot of Christian rap, because, like, rap, see, I'm going on this whole tangent. Because, like, rap in general, like, if you look at the origins of a lot of rap and hip-hop, a lot of it is rooted in self-promotion and a lot of pride and about, like, putting other people down. Like, if you heard of rap battles, Not saying that you can't have Christian. Very rarely do you turn on like a Christian rap song now and they're glorifying Jesus Christ. That there's even any mention of Jesus. It's a lot of Christian rap now sounds a lot like the rap music you would hear on the secular radio. I know when, I won't call any names out, but there were certain Christian rappers when they first started out, like it was Jesus, Jesus almost every other line. They were actually quoting Bible scriptures. Like I was actually memorizing Bible scriptures to their songs. And they were actually preaching the gospel in the songs. Like, and now their songs are doing featuring like secular artists and they sound just like the secular world. And a lot of them don't even want to be even identified as a Christian rapper anymore. Because that hurts the bottom line. If you get down to the root of what they're saying, a lot of, at least my personal opinion. Once again, that's not to bash people who claim, who were former or current Christian rappers. My main point is the almighty dollar is the ruler of the United States. And yeah, capitalism makes the United States go round, makes the world go round. And here you go. This is what's going on. Their business model is being disrupted. That's why these people are upset. It's interesting, too, because the Jews, they, if you notice the root of why the Jews are really upset, if you really get down to the root of the anger that the Jews had toward Jesus and his disciples, is they were known, there was power. Power and respect. Yeah, there's even a whole song called Money, Power, Respect. Like, it's like, first you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the respect. There's even a song called Cream, Cash Rules Everything Around Me, Cream, Dollar, Dollar Bill, y'all, yeah. Anyway. like, don't ask me how I know these things. I used to listen to a lot of rap when I was not, yeah, I used to listen to a lot of secular rap when I was a teenager. So, yes. Where is that? I had a point with what I was about to say. I was going somewhere with all this. I had a point. So, yes, power, money, power, respect. The Jews were upset because their whole way, and they were making money too from people coming into the synagogues, and I don't know fully understand how that all worked. Remember when Jesus went into the temple and he removed the money changers? I'm sure there's some shady stuff going on with that in the way the church business model was going. Look at the modern day Catholic Church and the struggles that they're having. I'm not going to go that deep into that. But like at the end of the day, there's Jesus. If the more you look at everything between two, like just one person, like one view is like, OK, there's Jesus. There's the Jesus perspective. And then there is everything else. The world. There's a way that Jesus does things. And there's a way the world does things. And the more you look at the world, the life through that lens, those two lenses, the more a lot of things make sense. And for why a lot of people, there was a time when the entire cities used to be shut down on Sundays or even on Saturdays, depending on when you worship. People used to do nothing. Like now businesses are open 24/7, 7 days a week. A lot of them open on Sunday. Only a few businesses that are closed on Sunday is like the Christian ones, like Chick-fil-A and his other one, like Hobby Lobby. Anyway, all right, let's keep going. I got on the soapbox. Disruption is coming, y'all. It's coming, but it's going to be a Christian disruption. True disruption. Verse 28, when they heard this, they were filled with rage and they began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Then the city was filled with confusion and people rushed together as a group into the amphitheater, dragging along. Let me go back. I was daydreaming for a second. Verse 28, when they heard this, they were filled with rage, and they began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Then the city was filled with confusion, and people rushed together as a group into the amphitheater, dragging along with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, who were Paul's traveling companions. Paul wanted to go into the pagan assembly, but the disciples would not let him. Even some of the Ajax officials, who were his friends, sent word to him and repeatedly warned him not to venture into the amphitheater. Verse 32, now some shouted one thing and some another, for the gathering was in confusion and most of the people did not know why they had come together. Some of the crowd advised Alexander to speak, since the Jews had pushed him forward. And Alexander motioned with his hand for attention and intended to make a defense to the people. But when they realized that he was a Jew, a single outcry went up from the crowd as they shouted for about 2 hours. "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" After the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, what person is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of that sacred stone image of her, which fell from the sky?" Did it really fall from the sky, or did y'all tell everybody it fell from the sky to make it sound special? Verse 36, "So since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and stay calm and not do anything rash. For you have brought these men here who are neither temple robbers nor blasphemers or our goddess. So then, if Demetrius and the craftsmen who are with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are in session and proconsuls are available. Let them bring charges against one another there. But if you want anything beyond this, it will be settled in the lawful assembly, for we are running the risk of being accused of rioting in regard to today's events. And since there is no reason for it, we will be unable to give an account and justify this disorderly gathering." And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. It's interesting, here in the United States, we have laws against like disorderly conduct or like unlawful assembly. Like, you gotta have like a permit. You're allowed to protest, but it has to be like peaceful protest. And they have, I think you're supposed to get like a permit from the city before you do that. It's interesting. Anytime people get together in crowds. Heavenly Father, I can't fully even begin to understand the things. Everything that's in what I just read, I kind of feel like I'm getting somewhere, and the people listening are will gather their own thoughts. At the end of the day, Lord, we just look forward to your divine. There you go. I think somebody has said that. A divine disruption, Lord. I feel like somebody has quoted that before. The divine disruption that is coming to the United States and around the world. We already see the rumblings of it with our country in debt up to beyond its eyeballs. It's crazy how our United States, they can be in debt and just keep borrowing more. But yeah, let me try to do that. Yeah, my debt ceiling never gets raised unless I actually pay off all my debt and yeah, have clean credit. Anyway, it's our yeah, we see it. Our United, it's, everything is out of hand. Our country, our world is, there's wars and rumors of wars. There's an impending election. This is all, idolatry is everywhere. You can go into many cities downtown, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. People, we got legalized weed. Everybody's trying to escape, getting high, getting drunk. No one wants to be sober anymore. Like, I'm saying no one, but a lot of folks don't know how to have fun and be sober, have sober fun. Lord, these are wild times, Lord. I just pray in the name of Jesus that for revival here in Kansas City. And it would not be revival at the ballot box. It wouldn't be revival at, yeah, it's not the politicians that are going to do it. It's not more government spending and programs that's going to do it. It's the church of, it's the churches being the church, and us a revival taking place in our hearts. I just look forward to that day. It's already here, Lord. It's already happening, Lord. Empower me to completely follow you, Lord, and to hear your voice, Lord. I pray against anyone that's dealing with any sicknesses, Lord, or discomfort. I know for me, I got a little discomfort in my left ear right now and in my right side. Sometimes in my chest, Lord, I just pray for healing in the name of Jesus. Anyone else that's in my mind as well sometimes, Lord, it just feels off. I just pray in the name of Jesus. Anyone that's dealing with any type of sickness or disease, I just pray for healing in the name of Jesus, supernatural healing, Lord, and that they would know that issue. Anyone that's dealing with anger or unforgiveness or bitterness, I just pray you will remove every area of anger, bitterness, or resentment in our hearts toward anyone or even ourselves. Any shame or guilt over past mistakes and sins, Lord, I clean that. You say our sins are separated as far as the east is from the west, Lord. Help us to walk in grace and forgiveness and be thankful for your mercy, Lord. We just thank you for all you've done, all that you're going to do, for you deserve the glory and the honor. You're Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. In Jesus' mighty precious name I pray. Amen. Divine disruption, y'all. Divine disruption is coming. It's not going to be religious. I've been there. I've been Mr. Religious Man who threw stuff out. If y'all knew the number of like Xboxes I have thrown away, where I bought it, yeah, video game systems, where I bought it and then threw it away. Once again, if you own a video game system, I'm not telling you to throw your game system away or saying you're not less of a Christian because you do that. All I'm saying is look around, y'all. There's idols everywhere, constantly. Trying to take our attention away from God and take away from what's most important. And I'm not saying go through. I've been Mr. Religious Man before. I've thrown away my TVs and thrown away stuff, electronics, thrown away even. I've given away. I had these Kobe Bryant shoes. They're like probably the coolest shoes I've ever owned in my life. And one day I decided, yeah, I put them in one of those. I didn't throw them away, but I put them in one of those donation bins. They were like $180 Kobe's. And I'm not saying that makes you more of a Christian or go do all this stuff. It's just something about our spirit man knows that we are being brainwashed almost. Like you have to renew your mind, because if you don't, like even me, like the car I drive, when I bought it, I could have got a simple car, more simple car, but I decided to get the higher end version with the leather seats and the sunroof and the nice rims. Cause I was like, oh, if I'm gonna be in this car for a long time, I want it to be nice. And I want to be nice for my riders too. Once again, that doesn't make me more spiritual or Christian because I have, cause you drive a basic car, because then it's like, where do you draw the line? Should you be driving a Ford Fiesta? Should all Christians drive a Ford Fiesta? Are Christians not allowed to drive BMWs? Where do you draw the line if you want to base your spirituality or how good of a Christian you are based on the kind of car you drive? These are all the silly things that we do as Christians. At the end of the day, the thing can't have your heart. It can't. The things can't have you. And I wrestle, I'm just going to be real. I wrestle with that. I wrestle with materialism. And there's times where, I can have these, impulsiveness to buy things because it makes me feel good in the moment. But then later on, you have buyer's remorse, So, Lord, I'm going to say one prayer. Lord, I pray for one more. Yes, people that deal with wrestling with idols in their hearts, shopping addictions, drinking addictions. Anyway, once again, we're trying to, anywhere we go to the well of this world versus you, Jesus, to fulfill those dark places of our hearts, those empty places of our hearts where we feel unloved or feel unseen, or we're just lonely, or we're just hurting. Anyway, we're just hurting, Lord. Or we're sad or we're depressed, and we go to these things to make us think they're going to feel us better, but there's only this temporary feeling of better, and then it goes away. But you, Jesus, we can go to you, keep going to you over and over and over again, and you're the well that never runs dry. So we thank you for that. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. In Jesus' mighty precious name I pray. Amen. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned or missed the mark or veered off the path and fallen short of the glory of God or God's perfect standard." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages or the cost of that sin is death or eternal separation from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his love toward us," or showed his love toward us, "in that while we were still yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us." Romans 10:9-10 says that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will, not might be, not maybe, we will be saved. For with our hearts we believe we are now in right standing with God, and with our mouths we confess that we are now saved. Lastly, Romans 10:13 says that whosoever, anybody or body, who calls upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. So if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, or you've walked away from him and you would like to rededicate your life to him, you can just simply say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for me and rose from the grave. I want to turn from my sin and trust Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness and everlasting life I can now have through faith in Jesus. In Jesus' mighty precious name I pray. Amen."